Support for WPR comes from Bernie's on Park, showcasing a variety of Earth-centered gifts, like Lake Superior and Idaho Sunset Agate Jewelry, 636 Park Street, Madison. Holiday hours at Bernie's Facebook page.
Support for WPR comes from Hoy Apothecary, an independent compounding pharmacy in Madison, serving Wisconsin, with educational webinars and custom compounded prescriptions for humans and pets. HoyRx.com.
Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and it's a physical therapy day, and we're going to zero in today on lower back pain with our two guests, Jill Tine-Nissenbaum and Lori Tine-Brody, and we'll talk with them in just a couple of minutes. But we are nearing the end, another day or so, of our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. You count on WPR News for trustworthy information and reporting, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2026 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I'm joined by Eric Greiling, who's our Chief Development Officer here at WPM. Eric, you know, it's been a tough year for public radio.
It has been a tough year, Larry. It's been a challenge for all stations, and WPR is no exception. But the good news is that we, all of us, listeners and WPR team together, can keep WPR strong if we do it together. And that's why your gift out there right now is so important. And you can make that gift by visiting WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, the funding for public media has been in the news nationally and locally. And we want you to know that while all funding is important, voluntary listener contributions still make up the largest and most reliable source of funding for WPR.
And that means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, please make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Lots of important and interesting issues covered on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I think you rely on this news coverage and the conversations and our guests like Lori and Jill to fill you in. And it's why our year-end member drive is so important.
And it helps us put a strong finish on 2025. Listeners have been so generous, and we want to keep you informed for the months, for the years to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or, again, call 888-202-2552.
Public radio gives people opportunities to hear programming that they can't hear anywhere else. My greatest fear as a driver is that I'll run out of a zone where there's a public radio station, and then I have to revert to something else. But I keep coming back because of the variety. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Penny, thank you very much. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. It really does have an important impact.
Yeah, that gift will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs and the sense that you're a member of WPR, that you're helping to make this possible. Show your support. You can visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and please give as generously as you can.
This member drive supports the programs you value, and you get access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with an additional admission sticker. You can ask for yours when you give $25 a month right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. It just means ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. For us, it helps us plan ahead. For you, it's knowing that your gift is always there. You're always doing your part to help WPR to keep these great programs coming to you, coming to your family, meeting you wherever you are. Get started at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Joyce in Platteville says, WPR is my go-to for news I can trust. WPR fills my heart. Joyce, what a nice comment. Thank you for that. What about you? Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much for your support during our drive. Well, I'm turning my attention to two young women who are in the studio with me right now, and they have straight backs.
We have great posture.
Great posture.
If you could see us.
Jill Tynesimov and Lori Tide Brody. Jill, professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. Jill, good to have you back in the studio.
Great to be here today.
And Lori, a physical therapist and UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic expert. Lori, good to see you.
Awesome to be here on a chilly day, but it's going to warm up, so we're going to get outside today, right?
Absolutely.
I'm hoping. We'll talk about lower back pain to begin the show, and of course we'll take all your physical therapy questions as we move along. And I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Jill, let me turn to you first. Back pain, how frequently do you see patients complaining of lower back pain?
So the average from an epidemiological perspective, 80% of the general population will experience at least one episode of low back pain throughout their lifetime. So I like to call low back pain the common cold of the musculoskeletal condition. A lot of people get it, and for the most part, it goes away on its own. But there are those people who have recurring pain or chronic pain, and by chronic, the definition is typically lasting greater than 3 months. And those are the people that usually enter the healthcare system that we see seeking solutions or some sort of help for their back pain. So as many people as have it out there, we don't see that whole population. We see somewhat of a select few of those individuals in our clinics.
I was thinking about once I was helping a guy at the boat landing, and I lifted the tongue on a trailer of his boat, and it was very, very heavy. And mm-hmm. I wound up with lower back pain mm-hmm. for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. It went
there
away,
you go.
And I haven't mm-hmm. had it since. And that's been, a long, long time ago, let's put it that way. I'm sure that's not the reason most people have lower back pain, Laura.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Mechanism of injury.
Oh, we have some great stories,
yes.
I'm telling you. But, you know, this is, we looked at an article that just came out recently. It was a systematic review and meta-analysis with 10,000 subjects in it. And basically what we know is that resistance exercise and motor control exercises, that they're the kings when mm-hmm. it comes to treating people with low back pain. But there's also a plethora of all kinds of other interventions that are used in physical therapy or outside of physical therapy. And these researchers wanted to know, what is the effect of some of these other additive.
Fringe.
Yeah. Well, they're not always fringe, though,
fair.
Jill.
Fair.
Okay, come on. So what ruled the day was what they called cognitive functional training, and it's basically pain science. So most physical therapists who work with patients who have chronic back pain or chronic pain for any reason utilize this pain science information. And so when they went through and they dissected about 15 different kinds of additive treatments to the gold standard or usual care, it was really only this cognitive functional training that had any impact at all.
What's the standard treatment?
Standard treatment is basically resistive exercise.
Therapeutic
exercise, and there are a number of different approaches to that. There are stabilization exercises. There are McKenzie's exercises. There are direction-based treatment. So there's a lot of subcategories of that, but the bottom line is the intervention has to be tailored to that individual.
At that point in time.
At that point in time, because it may change over time. And this is why we have follow-ups with patients. This is why the one and done doesn't necessarily work for people. So basically, the bottom line here was the author said that approaches that do not consider the multifactorial nature of low back pain may lead to an oversimplification of the problem, and therefore unidimensional classifications may not work. And that is, for us, the patient who comes to us after X number of months and said, well, I went and saw my physician for my back pain, and they said, go walk.
Mm-hmm. Just
walk. You will feel better if you just go walk. And, you know, that may work for a subset of people. So for you, Larry, you're a walker.
Yeah.
So you hurt your back and maybe getting back into your usual routine of activity, which happens to be walking, might work. But it's certainly not going to work for everybody.
Yeah. I was reading it. As I read through that research, I was thinking, okay, well, it sounds like they are also, you get better results if you are talking to the patient and you zero in on specific activities that they like to do or want to do with their lives?
Correct. And I think that's where the pain science comes in, is teaching them about pain catastrophizing and trying to teach them to empower themselves to do those things that they like to do, and explain to them, you know, the risk reward. A lot of people develop a fear of doing those things for fear they're going to hurt the tissue more, they're going to make their back pain worse. And teaching those things and kind of getting them out of that anxiety and pain catastrophizing realm is really part of what we're talking about here. And it has to be individualized.
Right. And so when I think about getting people back to activity, I kind of think about it in two pathways, and there's an overlap in that Venn diagram. But what do you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you motivated to do? What do you enjoy doing? And that's where I'm going to focus my goals, is getting you back to doing that thing, because you're going to be motivated to do that. You are not going to be motivated to sit at home and do bridges. I'm certain of that, unless you love to bridge. And then the other side of that is, I want people to do things that they are familiar with, that their body's familiar with, that they have in their head a motor program that they have done before. So I'm not going to send you off to do some really unusual activity, at least not at the beginning. But, you know, there are times we may want to do that if we're incorporating things like balance and you know, novel training of the brain. But for the most part, I'm like, let's start with something you're familiar with. Let's go there. And usually both the motivation and the recovery are better because there's familiarity with it.
If you told me to go rock climbing, I would not do it.
Exactly. There you go. So the other thing is, you want people to be compliant. So that's a great example, Larry.
Yeah.
You're 100% correct.
There was a fascinating study looking at adherence to a physical therapy program. So they sent these patients home with an ankle weight with an accelerometer hidden inside it. And they had patients keep a log of their activity, and then they compared that data with the accelerometer data, and you're laughing, Larry, because you know how this goes.
Right.
There was very little correlation between what the patients reported and what they actually did.
Right.
And that's, you know, no shame in that, but if your therapist is giving you things you hate to do and you don't see the value in it, if your therapist has not explained to you the value and the rationale for doing that exercise, it's really hard to be compliant.
Right.
I mean, you come home from work at 5 o'clock and you got kids and dinner and laundry and everything else, and you're like, I'm going to do some straight leg raises? I don't think so.
Lori Brody, Jill Dine-Nissenbaum, our guest today during our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive, and Eric Greiling is at attention and ready to talk with you, and so am I. Talk about requests and talk about needs. Your financial support is the foundation for the coverage and discussions you enjoy here on WPR News every day. And I hope you'll make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2025 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's important to do your exercises, and it's important to support what matters to you. It's been a momentous year for public radio stations around the country, including Wisconsin Public Radio. And with your support, we are moving forward past the ending of federal funding. Now, that federal funding wasn't the biggest part of our budget. You are the biggest part of our budget. But the loss is still significant. This is a moment to step up, keep stepping, and keep WPR strong together with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, many's the time I've gotten an email from somebody who thanked me for having Lori and Jill on the program. They've been doing this for a long, long time. And often during the show, somebody will call and say, hey, I took your advice, and it really worked. And I think, obviously, this is a benefit to the individuals. But there, think about all the people who were helped and didn't even bother to call in or say something. Maybe their lives were enriched by it. What about you? How is your life enriched by the programs here at WPR? We're listener-supported. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible, so I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
When you make that choice to support programs that matter to you, when you make that choice to support WPR, one of the easiest ways to do that is to become a sustainer. That means you're making a monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, any amount you choose, it continues month after month, year after year. That way you always know you're a member, and you can stop it when you need to stop it. But get started now. It'll feel great when you go to WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
You learn something new every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. This important service is available to all thanks to community support. We'll say thank you with next year's State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support your lifelong learning on WPR and enjoy access to Wisconsin's lakes, forests, and prairies. Give now and ask for your park sticker. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Your support during our drive makes this program and many more programs possible. Your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
Support the programs you love right now when you go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And then there's another great step you could take. Check with your company's community relations team and see if they offer a match of your gift.
And we get reminders of this. You know, I'm a contributor, and I once got an email that told me to ask my company if they would be willing to match the gift. Well, WPR could probably give to itself. But you are probably not a member of the WPM community. You may be part of another corporation, and even if you're retired from it, by the way, you have a chance to at least ask and see if they'll match. So why not do that? Go to your company and ask about that. But regardless of whether they do or don't, send a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
There are a lot of great ways to give. There are a lot of ways to make your gift go a little bit further, but Now is the time. It's time to give while you're thinking about it. Give during this program. It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to WPR.
And be sure to ask for your annual Wisconsin State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Those park stickers are, I give several of those as gifts every year, and I use my own a lot. So ask for your park sticker right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much for your contributions. If you haven't done it yet, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Our regular physical therapy experts with us today, Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. It's great to have them back. They come by pretty much every month, with rare exception, to talk about physical therapy issues. And if you have one, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Started talking about lower back pain issues, and we'll certainly continue with that. But we also will take other physical therapy questions as well. Dawn in Madison emailed to say, 72 years old, the survivor of a head-on car accident this past September, left with a fractured spine. Dawn's doing PT and has several exercises they do daily as mm-hmm. recommended. Dawn's been diagnosed with osteoporosis, has had back pain for several years. Dawn's spine doctor has recommended
vertebroplasty.
Yes. And she wants to know if vertebroplasty is safe and reliable procedure, understanding there are risks with any surgery.
Right. So vertebroplasty is a surgical procedure done in patients with osteoporosis. And basically what they do is they go into the vertebral body that's osteoporotic, and they basically fill it like a balloon full of cement, for lack of better terms, to make the bone more stable. So for many people, they're concerned about kyphosis and changes, things like that. And so for those reasons, it can be performed. It's definitely a useful intervention in the right population. There are some people who will be able to increase their bone mineral density through exercise and activity. In the case of this patient, with everything they have going on and the extensive history, not only with osteoporosis, but with, sounds like, fractures in their spine, this may be a way to jumpstart that person.
Yeah, I expect that the physician has looked at the spine, mm-hmm. looked at the history and so on, and is recommending this in order to prevent further mm-hmm. damage. So I like that Dawn is in physical therapy, mm-hmm. doing some exercises. And, you know, as always, I'll say the pool is a great place for people yeah. with this cluster of symptoms to exercise, because you can unload the spine. The buoyancy of the water decreases the compressive forces on the spine. So it's a place that you can exercise a little more vigorously, greater volume without as much pain. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good place to start. And then it's pretty easy to transition into a class or some other ongoing kind of activity in the water as part of lifestyle. So one of the key things, I think, for people with chronic back pain is figuring out a way for them to transition from the rehabilitation into exercise and activity as wellness.
Yeah. So back to that vertebroplasty. What's the downside to it?
Well, like any...
Or is there a downside?
Well, it's an invasive procedure. So you always run the risk of infection, things like that. I would say that's the main one, is you're just going into somebody's spine. So that's the main one.
And then there's always potential downsides of anesthesia and
right.
things like that. And typically the anesthesiologist and the surgeon sit down and they go over all of those risks with you. So like any surgery, you're looking at the risk benefit. Are there other comorbidities? Do you have underlying health conditions that increase your risk? Do you have diabetes? Are you overweight? What are the other risk factors? So you really have to factor all of that in. It's not the same answer for everybody.
Pat emailed to say they just turned 50. They're highly active, referee soccer and basketball, but have a ruptured disc and degenerative disc in their lower back.
Mm-hmm.
Pat enjoys strength training and finds it valuable to maintain health. Pat has modified some lifting movements to lying on the floor, limiting loading the spine, and avoiding full-range squats, but still occasionally has muscle spasms and nerve pain after a workout. Pat focuses on lighter weights and varying reps. But how can Pat keep this part of Pat's life going but work to avoid the pain afterwards?
Wow, that's a great question.
It is, and
perfect.
And Pat is doing an outstanding job of taking care of their back, because nothing goes with what I like to say a bad back like a great pair of legs. So to keep those other muscles strong is really important. So it sounds like Pat's done some modification, unloading their spine while they're doing some weight training. Wonderful idea. Avoiding putting loads on your back, for example, a squat rack. Getting out of that for somebody who's got degenerative disc disease is a great idea. So it sounds like they're doing a lot of good things right. What I didn't hear him, Pat, mention is, are they doing any core exercises? It sounds like they're doing a lot of big muscle exercises, but I don't hear anything that's really specific for their core and low back.
It's hard to say because
right.
Pat didn't give us a full rundown of the exercise program. But I think the take-home message here is that Pat is doing exactly what we would want a patient to do, and that is figuring out how to load, how to modify. In answer to the question of how do I keep doing this, I would say keep doing what you're doing. On those days when you have nerve pain afterwards, okay, that's a red flag. So if you know you have some muscle soreness afterwards, we're okay with muscle soreness. We don't lose sleep over muscle soreness. You have nerve pain, that's a red flag. And so looking back on what did I do different today that resulted in nerve pain that I didn't do the other day, and it isn't always necessarily what you did in that session, but sometimes you have to look back over 24 hours and ask yourself, what have I done the last couple days? Oh, I was on my feet a lot. Oh, I also shoveled snow. Oh, I also A, B, and C. So you have to do your own little single subject research and figure out what's different about today that resulted in this. And then just like Pat has done thus far, you tweak it, you modify it to make it fit and stay within what we call your optimal loading zone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's obvious, but how do you tell if it's muscle soreness versus...
That's a great question. So muscle soreness, as a general rule, is when you stretch the muscle, you feel it, and when you contract the muscle, you feel it. Joint pain, for example, it's deeper, it's a little bit more boring, it feels like a toothache, and it's there whether you're like stretching a muscle or not. Nerve pain we describe as lightning or zinging or kind of running down your leg.
Numbness,
yep. But I do love Lori's analogy of the optimal loading zone. You know, Pat does a lot of stuff where they're doing a lot of cutting, pivoting, running as a referee. So if they're doing a lot of that, those may be days where I wouldn't do weight training and I might do my weight training on opposite days. So trying to see how full that bucket that kind of stirs the pot is, you know, making sure that the things that poke the bear aren't too much to kind of send them over the threshold.
The other analogy I use for patients is, you know, at the beginning, and you have to look over your time frame. So maybe it's over the course of 24 hours, maybe it's over the course of a week. You have to kind of know your time frame. You get a certain number of activity chits.
Yep.
And you can spend them all being a referee and then like, yeah, we're done. Or, you know, if I have to do shopping, I have to do my holiday shopping. And so I know that at the end of that day, I'm going to go unload. I'm going to use some heat. I'm going to lay on my back. I'm going to watch a movie tonight, whatever it is. But you have a certain allowance of activity in that 24, 48, 5-day, whatever your time frame is, and you have to keep within that because you only have so many to spend. So that's another way to look at optimal loading zone, and over, under.
And that's such a great example because a lot of times people will come to physical therapy and they'll say, oh, I suppose you're going to tell me I can't run or so I can't do something I love. And as a general rule, my response is, oh, I never say never. But let's talk about this. What's really important to you? Well, I'd really like to run the 5K Girls on the Run with my granddaughter, for example. Okay, then this is what we're going to do. You're going to be putting a lot of eggs in that running basket. So then we may have to take other things that poke the bear or irritate your back out. And know that, you know, the day you do that 5K run with your granddaughter, you may be sore the next day. So next day will be a light loading day, but we're gonna figure out a way to get you to do it and make you successful. But I think learning the loading, how to manage that load and volume is something that patients need a lot of help with and need a lot of help understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A long time ago, I did some basketball refereeing.
Yeah.
And it's stressful.
Yes.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about that. There's no worse. Well, there are worse stressors, but it just called to mind this whole business of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of an impact, I mean, if you're stressed, how much of an impact does that have in creating problems?
Do you mean psychological stress?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great question. So, you know, going back to the article and pain neuroscience, there is definitely a cognitive aspect to this. So if you are feeling stress, we tend to hold more tension, and that can increase your symptoms. It tends to occupy your brain. It tends to take up, I always say, a lot of real estate in your brain that is not available for mindfulness, relaxation, the other activities you need to do to calm your nervous system, to calm that sympathetic drive that's pushing you. So there's definitely a psychological layer to this, and I think that's what that cognitive functional training is getting at.
I was thinking about this. The rest of my job here is stressful, or was, especially when I was teaching and advising students and all that. And so my stress reliever each day would be to come over here and host this radio program.
See, I was expecting you to say your stress reliever was your morning walk.
I was expecting it to be golf.
Well, that's
golf. Okay, see? That's where
we
go.
They both, golf can sometimes really be stressful. You're sitting in the, you know, the ball goes in the woods and you're trying to get it out.
Yeah. But you bring up a good point that for some people, exercise or activity is a stress reliever. Like, okay, I'm really tense. I'm going to take a lap around the block, or I'm going to go do this. There are other people where exercise is a stress creator. So for that person who has been injured and they're unable to get out and do their regular exercise, it can induce stress.
Right.
So it's not a one size fits all. It's a one size fits most.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, when it was 4 degrees the other morning.
Yes.
I did not get out.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is it's icy.
Right.
Yes.
The sidewalks are really icy.
A couple more days, I think it's going to get warmer, and I feel the sidewalks will be so much clearer.
Yeah.
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 Agreed.
And my stress will be much relieved when we hear those phones ring,
right?
Which we don't really hear the phones ring anymore because Eric Reiling had a smile on his face. We used to have a setup where the phones... We were in this large, large Buck studio, and we'd have people answering the phones right there while we were doing a fun drive. And so you could hear the phone. And on public media, on Wisconsin Public Television, for example, you do, oftentimes there are shots of people answering the phones. Well, we don't have that here, but we do have a very heartfelt and earnest request for you to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio to support this program and all the programs you enjoy. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important as we end the year and look forward to 2026. And I, for one, will be happy to be done with 2025 for a lot of reasons. Eric.
It's felt like a long year, hasn't it? If only we could hear those phones ring. It's great to hear them ring. It encourages us, and it lets us know that you're hearing us tell you how important you are, that you are the largest source of funding for WPR, and your gift matters, whether you're making a gift for the very first time saying, yes, this matters to me and I'm going to step up, or whether you're able to increase your gift. You'll help us face these challenges ahead, because together we can keep WPR strong. And we encourage you to support the programming like this show that enhances your day.
On this show from 11 to 1, 5 days a week, and I guess there's a replay on Saturday morning, we cover a lot of topics. We talk about the environment. We talk about consumer issues, certainly gardening on Fridays for sure, a number of advice-type programs. And this program today is sort of a combination of advice and a lot of great research-based information for you to help you feel better. If you're in some physical pain, I'm telling you, Lori and Jill do a marvelous job meeting out advice that anyone can really understand. And it's possible, a program like this one's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on WPR with your gift right now. It could be any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm not a medical professional, but I do have some advice to help you feel better, and that's to make a contribution to something that really matters to you, like WPR. Think about what you spend money on every day. Coffee, takeout, that all adds up. It's easy to spend on the things that are part of your routine.
And WPR is part of your routine as well. It's your source for information, your place to learn, your source for news. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When I was young, my father was farming near Lodi, Wisconsin. He didn't call it Wisconsin Public Radio. We called it the State Station. I remember in my teen years, we would log in the wintertime. We'd be out in the woods logging, and we would literally plan our day around Wisconsin Public Radio programs. We would stop to have lunch and plan it around chapter a day. We're still listening to it together. I'm Carl from Onalaska, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Carl, thank you very much. What about you? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Eric Reiling. Join in with your gift right now, because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you any time of the day or night.
Your gift, $120 maybe, or that's $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And during this member drive, you can support the WPR programs that you value and get access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with an annual admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give at a level of $25 a month or more now. And you can do that by visiting WPR.org or calling us. We hope we could hear the phones ring, but we'll be told. 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account. A lot of people use their credit card for that. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Melody had a nice comment.
Mm-hmm. Melody in Huberta said, I listen all the time, especially to the Larry Mueller show.
I didn't want to say that myself.
I'll say it for you.
Oh, man. Join in with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Taking a look at all kinds of physical therapy issues today with our two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic, and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. You got an ache, a pain, a sprain, or a strain? I hope you'll join in. Give a call, the number 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email to talk at WPR.org. That's talk at WPR.org. I want to, before we take a call, let's go to this whole area of social connections.
You mean social connections with
Can
exercise and activity?
Can a lack of social connection to other people be bad for your health and create issues?
Yes. So social determinants of health. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That there's research across the board that shows that social connections are important for your health no matter your age, whether you're children, adolescents, early adults, older adults. You know, the classic book supporting that is Robert Putnam, Bowling Alone. I don't know if you've read that book, but the discussion is that the fragmentation and the loss of social connections through many of our institutions, and you know they were talking about bowling leagues in Putnam's book, but Kiwanis, the Elks, all the social service organizations, mm-hmm. and as well as religious communities, they're really critical to support. So when you link it back to, for example, our topic today, people with chronic back pain, you may have somebody who is a parent, a worker, and all of a sudden they're unable to carry out their usual roles as parent. I can't pick up my kids. I can't get my child in and out of the car seat. I'm unable to work, so I'm losing my identity as a provider for my family. All those things contribute to their mental health, their psychological support as well. So maintaining social connections, being part of a community, are critical for an individual's health.
Jacob in Menominee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Larry. Love the show. And I got a story about back pain I just got to share. I had intermittent low back pain for years, and it peaked in the 3 or 4 winters ago. Nerve pain radiating down my legs, could barely walk. I tried everything. My mom's a PT. I had a disciplined yoga practice at the time. I tried acupuncture, float tank, went to the chiropractor a zillion times. And the thing that helped and kept it better was a friend gave me this book called The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John E. Sarno, who's an MD and specializes in back pain. And my back, over the 3 days I read the book, my back pain got better, and it stayed better for years now.
Oh, man.
So what was it about that book? What was the message there that resonated with you?
Yeah, we were talking earlier about you guys were about, like, the psychosomatic component. And so then depending on where your back pain was, there were different questions you could ask yourself. And for my lower back pain, it was feeling feelings that I hadn't allowed myself to feel. And it was a very profound experience, as I did what the book told me, and I was beginning to experience these feelings. It happened like 3 or 4 times. It got to the point where I was like, oh, I see why these feelings, I don't want to feel these. These are very uncomfortable. And the moment I went to go repress them, as I'd always done, it was like lightning. It was like being tased. Like there would just be shooting nerve pain. And so then I relinquished and allowed myself to feel my feelings.
Wow, that's a great story.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yes.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. Similarly, I had a patient a while back who was diagnosed with long COVID, although had never been diagnosed with COVID. And had a similar experience, had been through therapy. I mean, profoundly disabled, unable to read, and this person basically read research for a living, but found a similar kind of book that, and this person worked their way through it and came out on the other end, and is now writing their own book about this and doing podcasts about their experience. So you cannot dismiss the mind-body connection
at all.
So I love that story.
Jacob, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Other callers online, I hope they can stay with us. But Eric Greiling is waving his arms to saying, gosh, hurry up, Larry, and start talking so about our drive. So I'm going to do that right now and ask you to join in and support the news and conversations you rely on all year long. Your gift is very important. Do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It's an important message to thank our members, because thanks to our members, Wisconsin has a robust network of 39 stations and 7 bureaus across Wisconsin, providing programs that inform, engage, and inspire on air, online, and in person through our live events all across the state. I know Bayfield in Bloom is one of your favorites to attend, Larry.
I am looking forward to Bayfield in Bloom this year. It'll be probably my last time doing it. There'll be a lot of lasts for me coming up in the next 7 months, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind that. But what I do love, though, is and I will definitely miss talking to Lori and Jill, for example, about the great work that they've done and the great suggestions, advice that they've given to people over a year now. These are important times for me, and I think a show like this can be very important to you. When you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Don't miss a moment. December is a great time of the year to think about what is important to you. And when WPR is important to you, make that gift to support this station that you count on. You'll feel great when you give at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my
source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Please go to WPR.org and make your contribution or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling, asking for your support for the shows that you value right now with a year-end member drive gift. Your contribution, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for our entire community.
Whether you tune in for your one favorite program or that radio goes on and stays on, you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you're a regular listener because you value WPR. If you've never given before, start off with a gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. You are going to just love being a WPR member.
And you know what? If you contribute $25 a month or more, we'll send you a Wisconsin State Park sticker. We spent a lot of time earlier in the year supporting and promoting Wisconsin state parks. We did a series of shows on our state parks. They're wonderful state parks here in our state, and they're worth a visit. And if you haven't done it Or if you do it regularly and would say, hey, I'd like to get that state park sticker, you can get one. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you. Today could be the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10, maybe up to $25 a month so that we can send you that state park sticker as a thank you. Whatever amount you choose, you can make that sustaining gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Nick in Black Earth says, I love how WPR comes with me wherever I go. WPR follows me into the valley where the cell signal goes out. I couldn't imagine living in rural Wisconsin without y'all, as Nick says. I hope you'll join in with your contribution. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution. And we'll be back with Lori and Jill to answer your questions right after this look at the news. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller with Eric Greiling. Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at physical therapy issues with our two guests today. Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne Brody be with us to the top of the hour to answer your questions, and lots of callers online, and we'll get to them in a minute or two. But Rob Ferret, co-host of Wisconsin Today, has wandered into the studio.
I just got lost, Larry, but hey, I'm by a microphone. I'll talk to you for a while if you want.
I would like that a lot. He's going to help me talk with you about your support. Your support is what keeps these conversations going strong. And your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2026. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It's been a challenging year for public media. There will be some more challenges ahead, but WPR is as committed as ever to the Wisconsin communities we serve. WPR will remain a strong and vibrant service with your help right now. Invest in the programming you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are very powerful because people who listen, like you, provide the most significant share of our funding, and your donation, kind of an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the news, the programs like this one, the entertainment that keep you informed and engaged.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for your entire community. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a way to celebrate the end of 2025 by supporting WPR. Your gift ensures you can continue to provide quality programming in the new year. Make your donation right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've listened all over the country, you know, traveling, you try to find the public stations. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. And it is, for many people, I think it's, they can't get out, but they can find out what's going on by turning on the radio. I'm John Ink from Wausau, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for education and information. It comes to you. You don't have to go hunt it down.
John, thank you. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose has a big impact.
We know you value your time. We value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a couple few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a few minutes, literally a couple of minutes, to support the station you count on. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the WPR programs you value and get access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with an annual admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jane in Waupun says, I really enjoy the Larry Mueller Show. Jane, you and so many others. And I was thinking, Larry, you know, you've been here at WPR for a day or two.
It'll be 59 years coming up in a couple of days.
Well, and here's the thing. That seems like a long time. That's only about half of the time that WPR has been around, right?
Yeah.
We go back even further than that. It's this amazing thing that's gone on for over a century, and it's because of listeners like you over the years, over the decades, who have given to keep it going and growing strong. You can join that amazing tradition here at Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Very powerful, your gift. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much for contributing. Really appreciate it. As we visit with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, our physical therapy experts back with us, and lots of callers online, so I think we'll just turn right to the phones. And let's go to Martha in Madison. Martha, hi.
Hello. My question is not exactly about back pain.
No problem.
I'm 45. I have had juvenile idiopathic arthritis since I was diagnosed at 18 months. And I'm currently having problems with my knees and my ankles. I've already had total hip replacements. And when I go see my rheumatologist, he sent me to sports medicine, and they recommend, and my rheumatologist always recommends, that I do exercise in the pool. And I work full-time, so obviously, like, what I was calling about was kind of like related to what you were saying about how like physical therapy has to kind of work for like your life.
Right.
And going in the pool like would obviously be ideal, but I can't make that work for my life. So they're sending me to physical therapy now for like, I mean, I've been to physical therapy before. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions of like, things that I could maybe bring up to the physical therapist that would be helpful for like somebody who needs like help with knee and ankle pain that is not pool related. Like everybody seems to always be suggesting that I get in the pool.
Yeah, and Lori, you often suggest that.
Yes, I do often suggest that. So let's just clear that out. So I understand you work. You're not available during regular working hours. So I know at our facility and many facilities, there are evening classes that you can sign up for. You know, a couple times a week, there are classes on weekends. So if it's possible to make a class in the after hours, that would be a great thing to do. And I understand why people recommend it, because with your diagnosis, unweighting your joints is the best. So all that being said, the key factor for physical therapy, if you're going to do land-based treatments, is to avoid too much resistance, avoiding too many weight-bearing activities. So the dosage of your activity, the choice of activities, and the resistance, and the number of sets and repetitions will be really important. And a lot of this is stuff that you have to self-manage. So you start with what the PT says, and then you make it your own.
Can you do it at home, though?
Yes, I mean, you could. Yes.
Perhaps Martha has children and
right,
it's hard
right,
to get
yeah,
away
right.
or whatever.
It is, as someone who had four children, it is difficult to get away.
You still have four children.
That's right. I do still have four children. I don't manage them on a day-to-day basis, though. But yes, you can do them at home. And hearkening back to things we said earlier is you have to figure out how to use your exercise and activity chits. over the course of the day. And if you're very busy at work, if you're on your feet, if you're standing, if you're on a hard surface, if you're doing lifting, anything like that, then your exercise has to be scaled back. You can't be doing a lot of weight-bearing, lifting kinds of things. You have to do non-weight-bearing, isometric strengthening, things like that. And I would avoid a lot of resistive exercise through a range of motion for someone like you.
Yep.
Good luck, Martha, and thank you very much for calling. Brenda in Sauk Prairie, your turn. Hi, Brenda.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling about low back pain. I've never had it until Saturday morning. I woke up and was a little stiff and sore, and I thought I'm going to go to the gym and work it out. And I found myself on the floor at the gym, even unable to get up because my back was spasming. Mm. Again, something that had never happened. So I lift weights 3 times a week. I teach yoga a few times. I teach other community exercise classes. And so I'm pretty active, but found the back, my back was spasming uncontrollably. They recommended they had to help me up. I went home and I put heat. They said heat, and then I took Advil. I don't know the genesis of the excruciating spasms. They have subsided, though my back is still sore now 2 days later, but was sitting on heating pads. The genesis is unknown, but my bigger concern is do I try to go back to the gym now today and to my weightlifting? And I taught a little class this morning, and that was fine in chairs at a community center. But how do you work through that spasm? How do you and heal from it?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So the soreness doesn't surprise me, because anytime you have this uncontrolled muscle spasm, that's more activity or contraction that they normally do. So to have some muscle soreness post this episode is not uncommon. So how do I return back to my activity levels? You need to start slow, and you need to do what I refer to as an ABAB design. In other words, you insert some activity and you see if it was okay. Then you insert a different activity and see if that was okay. If you do a whole lot of activities and you're worse, you don't know which one poked the bear. So I wouldn't start with the weight training. I would start with more movement-based motion, slow and controlled, planned. So on a bike, for example, that's an elliptical, a recumbent bike, something to get some blood flow going and a kind of a planned movement before I would start with resistance training. The resistance training would probably be the last thing I would add. And I don't know what kind of resistance training you do, Brenda, but I would avoid, the last thing I would do is I would put weight on my back and do something that way. So I would, that probably be the last thing I would add into it. But using an ABAB design is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would start with something like a bike,
right?
Like you said, to get some blood flow to the area. You teach yoga. I would work my way back into yoga. And then I would, when I started weights, I would do machine weights where my body is supported. So it's supported, not standing, not free weights.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda, thank you very much for calling. Good luck. Carrie in Superior, it's your turn. Hi, Carrie.
I just want to say I love your program, Larry, but especially when these two women are on, it's extra great. So, I broke my hand 14 months ago for various reasons. I didn't complete all of my physical therapy. Everything seemed fine till the shoveling started, and now I can just tell how much weaker it is and stiff. And what exercises can you recommend?
So, did you break your scaphoid?
Three bones,
metacarpals. Okay, great. Okay. So gripping, it sounds like shoveling, there's a lot of gripping, twisting, and rotation. So I would encourage you to do anything where you're gripping things and gripping and rotating. So gripping of various sizes will become important. So you'll have to find different items that you can grip that have kind of a wider grip, smaller grip, bigger grip. You can use rubber bands to do resistance. So you hook it on your thumb and you hook it on your index finger and you pull them apart, let them come together, things like that. Lori has something she wants to say.
She's raising her hand. The studio. So washing dishes.
Yes, I was going to say that.
You were going to do that? No, washing dishes is great, especially when it's 5 degrees outside. Warm water, squeezing the sponge. Okay, handling different size objects in the warm water, it's great. And as somebody who had a little wrist fracture a few weeks ago and had to work her way back into the gym, it's not all or none. You need to work your way into it slowly. I would actually get a little splint for my hand for things like shoveling. So I ordered one off of a large website that many people order from this time of year, which shall remain unnamed. But I just got a small splint to support my wrist and hand when I returned to shoveling and weight training and worked my way back into it. You're laughing at me. She's laughing at me over there.
Lori fell and broke her wrist when she was walking backwards to Dryce to do some strength training and rebuild her osteoporotic bones, and she fell and broke her wrist.
You're always telling me to walk backwards.
Yep, in her new shoes. And she got new shoes because she had knee pain. She had knee pain. She bought new shoes, had the new shoes on, wasn't used to wearing them, was walking backwards on a track, fell, reached out, landed on her wrist and broke her wrist.
Yeah. You can't make this up.
You can't make it up.
Oh, my goodness. Carrie, there you go. I also, anytime hands come up, I often think of the paraffin.
Oh, I have one at home.
Oh, those are so nice.
I have
They're
one
so
at home.
Nice. But
and so it's you melt the wax and then I've done it and it's just like you put your hand in and it's
nice, but it is what we would call a passive intervention. So it's nice and it's pain relieving and it makes your skin soft, but there's not a tremendous amount of therapeutic benefit other than it feels really good.
And if
you do stuff afterwards once you're warmed up, well, that's
thank
your intent,
you that's but, what you need
but no yeah I have one at home. Oh, it's a game changer.
And talk about feeling good, you are going to feel good as you're listening to this show when you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your financial support is really important. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2025 at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And I bet Rob Ferret would agree.
I definitely agree. And that's some good, you know, gripping and rotational exercise. You grab the mouse to click on your computer and make that donation, or you pick up your phone and dial. Yeah, good stuff. Don't walk backwards while you're making that call, though. There's nothing but trouble there. Now, you are a WPR listener. I'm sure you agree, WPR, you can't really do without it here in Wisconsin. Public media is facing some tough times, but the mission is as essential as ever. That means your support is more important than ever. Let's keep WPR strong together. Join in right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lori and Jill have been regular guests every month for years and years, and we've heard many times people call or send me a note and say how they were helped by the suggestions that come from Lori and Jill. And I get that for the other programs we do as well. We're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you will choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
Make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, say $10 or $20 a month. Have it charged for your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support's always current. Start that ongoing monthly gift deal going right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Powerful way to support the programs you love.
This member drive at WPR can help you explore all our great state has to offer. Ask for next year's Wisconsin State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more for the WPR programs you value. From scenic dells to dramatic bluffs, with this pass, you'll enjoy access to dozens of parks and recreation areas. Tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio along the way, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you made it all possible. Give now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret. Your support during our drive makes this program and many, many more programs possible. And once you enjoy, your gift right now, 10, 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggestions. Think about the same amount you pay for your monthly long list of streaming services. There's so many out there. Think about that kind of amount and make that your monthly WPR gift.
Probably something you look forward to, those streaming services, or maybe the daily coffee. Give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Or you might spend $20 going out for drinks or dinner, maybe every weekend in the greater scheme of things. It might not feel like $20 is a big expense, especially if it's just once a month.
But we're asking you to give $20 a month for your support of WPR listening. On its own, it really doesn't feel like a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go out for dinner for $20 unless you...
Not these days, no.
Unless you go to a fast food place all by yourself.
A grocery store.
Yeah. What a grocery store.
Your neighbor's garden. Whatever works.
Whatever works.
Don't do that.
But I want you to think about that Wisconsin State Park sticker as well. When you give $25 a month or more, you can support one of the treasured Wisconsin resources and get access to a year's worth of another, the state park system. So ask for that park sticker now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at all kinds of physical therapy issues on the show today with our guests, Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, Larry Mueller here. Questions? Maybe you've got an ache, a pain, or a sprain, or a strain. I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234. You can email to talk at WPR.org. Several emails. Two callers asked you to please, Lori, repeat the name of the book you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely. It's called Bowling Alone, and it's by Robert Putnam. And for those who prefer the visual rather than sitting down with a book, there is a Netflix documentary on the book called Join or Die,
which is great.
It is.
It's really good.
It's a wonderful documentary. It's currently, I believe, showing on Netflix, but it's a 2023 documentary based upon the Putnam book, Join or Die.
But the book is titled...
Bowling Alone.
All right. Thea emailed to say Thea's a 52-year-old lifelong runner who has been told she needs or may need a knee replacement. Have you two ever had patients return to running after a knee replacement? If so, what factors contributed to a successful return to running?
I think it depends on how you define runner. So She's been a lifelong runner, so the million-dollar question would be the volume of running in which she does. So could Thea go back to some running a few times a week? Absolutely. Could she go back to ultramarathons? I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of factors that go into it, including joint alignment of her other joint, overall strength, mobility, things like that. So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Right. So you back up to the question of why at 52 do you need a total knee?
Mm-hmm.
So was there a history of injury in that knee? And all the remaining joints are in wonderful shape. Yeah, there's probably some latitude there for everything else to pick up any slack. If you're having a knee replacement because all of your joints are going to pot, then maybe running isn't the greatest choice. So as Jill said, there are many factors. Could you go back? Absolutely. We need to look at all those other factors and make sure that everything is, again, back within that optimal loading zone.
Vivian in Green Bay will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Vivian.
Oh, dear. Over the last 3 years, I've had severe muscle cramping, left leg hamstring. I've described it to my physicians as a rebar rod at the back of my leg. And, of course, rebar is used to reinforce concrete. But until recently, when I had really severe muscle cramping for about 4 hours straight at night, then I got a little more attention and investigation. So it appears that there's an L4 nerve from my lower back down to my big toe, and that nerve is irritated and behaves badly, and therefore the muscles behave badly.
So
LeBron James has, and I'm wondering what the prognosis is. I'm twice his age. I really need to keep walking for a long time yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I missed a little something. Are you in physical therapy? Is there a planned intervention for this L4 issue?
Yes, I am in physical therapy with an absolute marvelous woman. And I have an MRI scheduled for next week. And I'm thinking that will result in a cortisone shot.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perhaps. Well, it sounds like you're on the right trajectory. You're in physical therapy. You like your physical therapist. So hopefully that means you are compliant with the program. The MRI will kind of clarify things and determine if there's something that an epidural steroid injection can help. Again, for someone like you, I like the pool to unweight that low back and get you going. And Jill's waving her arms over there. She's got something that she's dying to say.
I have one tiny finger up.
One
in the
tiny
air.
Finger.
So, you know, sometimes it's helpful to get an MRI. A lot of times we say an MRI doesn't really impact your course of care. In this case, I think an MRI mm-hmm. might actually help guide rehabilitation and our plan of care. If they offer you a steroid injection, I would put it off until you feel like you're plateauing in rehab. So keep chugging along in the rehab process. If you're cooking along, you may never need it. Mm-hmm. So kind of keep it in your back pocket as your ace card, per se. Mm-hmm. So don't get it just because they offer it to you. Make sure it's like, well, I'm stuck in rehab. I'm not getting where I want to get, things like that. Because you may never need one if you're cooking along with rehab.
That's a really good point, Jill. So we reserve yes. that intervention for when you've plateaued yes. and you have not reached your goals.
Right.
There you go, Vivian. Thank you very much for calling. Sue in Gleason, your turn. Hi, Sue.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a chronic condition that I'm not sure it's been correctly diagnosed, but it's a hemifacial spasm, which basically is spasms of one side of my face. The MRIs that were done a few years ago were inconclusive, but some of the research I've been doing, I'm starting to wonder if it has more to do with muscle tension in my neck, as I've had a chronic issue there, mm-hmm. and is dry needling a possible solution to this? And wonder if you've heard of this or...
Jill's done a lot of it. Yeah, thanks, Sue.
So these are all great questions. And first of all, I would definitely try dry needling, number one. Number two, it very much could be coming from your neck. The other place it could be coming from is your temporomandibular joint. Seeing a physical therapist that specializes in TMJ and or facial things would be ideal. And I don't know where you're calling from, but there's a handful of physical therapists that specialize in what we call craniofacial. They're craniofacial certified. And if you can find one of those or somebody who specializes in TMJ pathology or TMD, that would be a really good place for you to start. Because I'll treat your neck as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the dry needling.
Yes, and a person who works with TMJ or TMD, they definitely dry needle, because that dry needling is used commonly with people with jaw pain, and so they can dry needle anywhere. So the general rule is if you have TMJ pathology, you also have neck pain because the two really go hand in hand. So I think this is a really good, I think Sue's got some good points here.
We have a physical therapist at Spine here at the Science Drive Medical Center who specializes in TMJ.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sue, there you go. Thank you for calling. Susan, who's north of Sun Prairie. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Okay. I have an elbow issue that I'm not quite sure how to deal with it. It started on October 23rd. Well, actually, I had a little pain, so I went to see a nurse practitioner, and she gave me some exercises and actually, those things actually made it feel a little worse, so I kind of backed off. But I'm still, so it's been, what, 2 months now? I'm just not quite sure what to do next.
What happened on October 23rd? You had a very pinpoint
precise date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm not really sure, like, I think my elbow was bothering me a little bit, and I had done quite a bit of yard work. I think that may have been what precipitated it, but I'm not positive. It was just all of a sudden on the lower side of my elbow is kind of where my pain is.
So inside, outside?
Inside.
Okay. Golfer's elbow.
Golfer's elbow.
Golfer's
okay.
elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah. So have you seen a physical therapist at all, or you're just self-managing?
I'm self-managing, and I was wondering, should I see a physical therapist?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds to me like you have medial epicondylia, otherwise called golfer's elbow, and people get it from doing a lot of gripping and pronating or rotating their wrist. So yard work could have easily been the culprit. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I mean, you probably have a tendinopathy going on there, Susan. So it's going to take a little bit to get it better, and they can give you some specific exercises, probably some good eccentric strengthening of those and some flexibility exercises to get it better.
But they tend to not go away on their own.
Correct.
Because you're always using your hand and gripping. They're actually the muscles that flex your wrist. It's not really muscle activity at your elbow, but it's wrist muscle activity that gets it going. And you're constantly using your wrist and hand for stuff, especially if it's your
dominant
arm.
Hand. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I would get in to see somebody.
And Vicki in Mount Horeb, what's on your mind?
Hello. I have a right hip joint that is giving me some issues, and ultimately I'm probably going to have a hip replacement. I've had one cortisone shot, and I've scheduled another one for mid-February, and I'm just, are there any downsides to getting these cortisone shots? Because it worked beautifully for a little over 2 months.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some negative impacts from using a corticosteroid injection, especially if it's intra-articular or within the joint. So, Vicki, how long ago was your last one? You said you got 2 months of relief, but how long ago was that?
Yes, I got it in mid-August.
Okay, so they'd be like 6 months apart.
And was that into the joint or was it on the outside of your hip?
Well,
really long needle,
ultrasound
guided. Did they do it like with an ultrasound?
It was ultrasound guided.
X-ray
guided. I'm not sure which.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there is some negative sequelae here because what happens is the corticosteroid can kind of eat away at your articular cartilage. So if you haven't seen a physical therapist for this as well, that'd be something I would suggest.
Yeah. No more than 3 a year.
Right.
No more than 3 a year, Vicki. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, our guests today, and I'm joined by Rob Ferret. This year-end member drive is your chance to support the news and talk that you count on every day on WPR programs that keep you in touch, informed, and inspired. Your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Very important as we end this year and look forward to the next.
As a WPR listener, you probably know it's been a challenging year for public media. WPR has been around for more than 100 years. It existed before federal funding and will continue to serve you and your community in the future. That future counts on you right now. Let's keep WPR strong together. Make a gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And what's the cost to you? Well, you choose. WPR is your source For helpful information like you're hearing today, support it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, sometimes you get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Can't buy a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of programs possible. And that works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I think you will too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Maybe you listen to WPR in school as a kid or in the car with your parents, or maybe you found us on your own. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
We have thousands of listeners who contribute, but maybe you're one of those who has never yet contributed. Maybe you'd be a first-timer. Never too late to make that first contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month. Easy, doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we have this Wisconsin State Park sticker. Larry, do you remember a good visit to a state park this year that you've made? I hit Amnicon Falls for the first time. Finally, awesome, well worth the visit.
I have been to many. Peninsula is always kind of a favorite for
Great.
Me. Peninsula State Park,
sure.
I love going there, and there's also the advantage of a golf course right at the course.
Handy for Larry. Watch out for the golfer's elbow, though, here.
Yeah, well.
Well, here's the thing, though. This member drive, you can support the WPR programs you love and get access to Peninsula State Park and Amnicon Falls and all the others with an annual admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Laura in Oshkosh says, I always learn something new when I listen to WPR. I'm right there with you, Laura. I learn new stuff, whether I'm doing the interview or just listening to Larry. I learn stuff all the time. Support that lifelong learning with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Really makes a difference. Very powerful if you can contribute. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution and thank you. Taking a look at physical therapy issues with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Tom emailed to ask if there are any exercises to help with chronic venous insufficiency of the legs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, so chronic venous insufficiency, you're having poor blood flow through your legs. So generally, any kind of activity that's going to increase blood flow through that area is going to be helpful. So walking, cycling, any of those things would be helpful. I wouldn't say that there are specific physical therapy exercises for that, but general exercise where you increase blood flow through that area will be helpful.
Probably not the pool.
Probably not the pool because of the hydrostatic pressure.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John in Oostburg emailed to say they have been a physical therapist in Wisconsin for over 25 years. John used to advise their patients that the weather, especially weather changes, can affect pain in the body. If you both agree, can you elaborate why this would be?
Yes, mm-hmm. I don't disagree with John at all. And I think it's changes in barometric pressure. So it's the changes, you know, when the barometric pressure changes, the pressure within our joints and the synovial fluid, the fluid-filled sac in our joints can get tighter, it expands, it contracts. And so I do think that that pressure impacts the joints. And mm-hmm. people used to say that, oh, I can tell in my knee when right. it's going to rain. They're probably right. not wrong.
Right, right. No, it's true. And there are all kinds of receptors in your joints, pain receptors, pressure receptors, temperature, all different kinds of receptors. So that change in barometric pressure absolutely changes the pressure in your joints.
Peggy emailed to ask if all physical therapists are trained to work with people with special needs.
So in the state of Wisconsin, since I teach in the PT program, I'll take this one. We prepare the generalist clinician. So students are prepared to go out and treat in any environment, including individuals with special needs. Having said that, many people will go and specialize in an area, and kids with special needs probably fall, kids or adults with special needs probably fall in the neurologic realm. So it would probably be an expert that's either in pediatrics or neurology, that would be somebody who would really be an expert in working with individuals mm-hmm. with special needs.
Yep.
Makes sense. Jim in Appleton, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm a 78-year-old active adult, and I noticed that my balance isn't as good as if I'm cross-country skiing this year, and I wondered if there were some suggestions that you might think I might do. I didn't think it was the weather.
No, probably not.
So there are a number of things you can do to work on your balance. So, I mean, you can get a formal referral to physical therapy and have a physical therapist work with you on that. It sounds like you're really active. And have you fallen, Jim?
No, not yet. I haven't done the Black Hills yet, but
do you classic?
I'm watching what I do.
Do you classic or skate ski?
Yes, I'm classic.
Classic. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right. So, A, getting out there and skiing is going to be good for your balance. It's an activity your body knows, and you haven't done the blacks yet. Fantastic. So the idea is to use that activity to train your balance. So you gradually do a little bit more hills. Maybe you build in a little bit of speed and you practice some of the balance that's required in the sport that you want. But it's also useful to do some land-based activities to work on your balance. And, you know, if you went online and looked at videos, there's a number of things you can do. You can stand on,
your sofa cushion,
all kinds of things. You can stand on one leg and close your eyes and practice balancing. So there are 100 different ways to do this. But I like continuing to work on balancing in the activities that are important to you. So, yeah. But you can also get referred to a physical therapist who can give you some things that are specific to you.
Correct, which I think would be great. Maybe a couple strengthening exercises as well would help. So yeah. I would one visit, maybe two visits, and you'd be rock solid.
Yeah.
Good luck, Jim. Thank you. Mary Ann in northern Wisconsin emailed to ask for recommendations of warm-up stretches for pickleball players.
She
does 2 or 3 hours of pickleball at least twice a week.
Wow.
As a good, and wonders, that's a good exercise mm-hmm. choice, she's asking. And she's 67 with no major health issues other than normal age-related aches and pains.
So, yeah. So pickleball is great because it's multi-planar, it's weight-bearing, it involves your upper body and your lower body. You need some good core stabilization with it. So it is a wonderful sport, but I think warming up is appropriate. So we typically recommend a dynamic warm-up. In other words, don't just do static stretching prior to participating in your sport. So it would be things like a very light jog forward to the net, very light jog backward to the to the baseline. Yes, jogging backwards, mm-hmm. Lori. Yes, a little
yes,
bit of backwards.
Back, yeah, yes, some side shuffling.
Some side shuffling, some grapevine, mm-hmm. those kind of things, and making sure all your large muscle groups are stretched out at some point. Mm-hmm. Quadriceps, hamstrings, glutes,
and then,
calf.
And then upper body as well. Yes. So maybe after you have, basically we want you to increase your heart rate and break a little bit of a sweat. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal at the beginning. And then maybe a little bit of knee to chest to stretch your hips, a little bit of holding the fence and turning your body to stretch your back and your trunk in rotation, a little bit of hamstring stretching, just some general stuff. But the first step, as Jill said, is that total body activity to break a sweat.
So the saying is you don't stretch
to warm up, you warm up to stretch.
There you go. Rana and Cameron, do you have a quick question?
Hi, good afternoon. So about a year ago, I experienced a mild traumatic brain injury, and I am still recovering. I'm to the point where I can do I can do some movements and some exercises. My neck and shoulders also experienced severe whiplash. So I'm really trying to get this area to loosen up. Because it's still very tense. So
what can we do for the neck and shoulder?
Is she seeing a physical mm-hmm. therapist? She needs to see probably PT combined with a neurophysical therapist.
Right, because we don't know if the stiffness is neurologic or orthopedic.
I don't know if it's a cervicalgenic.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's neurologic from mm-hmm. the brain injury. Mm-hmm. So she should be seeing, I would say, a neuro PT to clear that and then to an ortho PT.
Right.
Rana, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And get in to see that PT person. Well, Rob Ferret back with me here during our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. I hope you'll join in here the last 5 minutes or so of the show and support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Public media has faced a challenging year. WPR will continue to be your source for information, inspiration, and connection. But right now, you're more important than ever to our future. Let's keep WPR strong together. Join us or increase your support today with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The last couple of hours, we've been talking with our PT experts, Lori and Jill, and they provide a lot of great information that I know is helpful because I've had lots of feedback about it. We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
As we look ahead to 2026, we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now is the time. If you have given this year, we appreciate an extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin Public Radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for a better life.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret, asking you to support the quality programs you value on WPR with your gift right now during our year-end drive. Your contribution, $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
You listen to WPR because you count on research-based reporting and interesting discussions. You probably agree Wisconsin is a better place because we have access to independent, high-quality news and talk programs.
And that quality is possible thanks to you, donors. You're a listener. Now take the time to become a member. Your donation, say $10 a month or $120, that makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everybody. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much for that. Think about making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 to wrap the year up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thanks for your extra support for the programs you love every day.
Ask for your annual Wisconsin State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to a year's worth of another, the State Park System. You can ask for your park sticker now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. If you're not, if you've given once in a while here and there, make today the day you become a sustainer with monthly ongoing gifts, $5 or $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. Quick and easy to set up online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Jane in Madison says, I know I can count on WPR anytime I tune in. I always have a lot of fun I learn a lot when Lori and Jill come by, and frankly, when all of our guests here on the program come by. I've learned an awful lot over the years here. If you have learned some things and enjoy the show, it'd be a great time to give right now as we close out the day. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. On behalf of Rob Ferret, I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for contributing to WPR.